Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, that epistle reading from this morning, that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love is patient, love is kind, that one, that verse is near and dear to my own heart. In fact, it's probably one of the most beloved passages in the entire Bible. But the reason why it holds such a special place in my life is because that's the verse that my wife and I chose to have read at our wedding. Okay, I know that's not a terribly original idea. Millions of couples throughout the entire world have decided to have the exact same thing read at their wedding. But why try to be original when the popular option is so great? And it really is. It's a beautiful section of scripture, really extolling what love is and what love does. And I can't think of a better passage for my wife and I to begin our newly connected life together than this one. Because that's what love does. It connects people. Whether it's a husband and a wife, or friends, or extended family. Love is what brings people together and connects them. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say love is what makes life worth living. Though, as I was preparing for this message, that thought gave me pause. Because as I studied this passage of Scripture and all these great things about love, I had a realization. That doesn't always sound like me. I mean, patient and kind? I can do that sometimes. Does not envy or boast? If I'm trying really hard. Is not irritable or resentful? Okay, I have some bad days with that for sure. In fact, for every single one of these great things this passage talks about love being, I can think of an opportunity or a situation where I did the exact opposite thing. And I don't think of myself as a particularly hateful guy. I mean, I'm not plotting anybody's revenge. You know, I don't think that I'm even holding on to a grudge right now. And yet there's something out there that's keeping me from living up to this passage of Scripture. There's something that's keeping me disconnected from loving others. And as I spent some time and really reflected on it, I realized that those things that keep me disconnected, well, it's rarely hate. In fact, it's hardly ever even anger. No, the things that keep me disconnected from others, well, they're a whole lot more socially acceptable. The things I'm thinking are things like apathy. You know, just not really caring all that much. You know, maybe you've experienced something similar to that. You know, there's that person over there, and it's not that you or I, you know, hate that person, or even that we're mad at them. It's just we're caring about something else, and so we don't really end up caring all that much about them. I find myself thinking, you know, it really doesn't matter what they do. It's their life, it's their choices, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that we remain disconnected. There's no love being shared. Because the simple fact is, you can't love somebody who you don't care about. Or maybe for you, it's fear, or suspicion, or distrust. It's all kind of that same thing. There's a stranger over there, and you know, you don't want something bad to happen to them, but, well, why go out of your way to make their life easier? You don't know the person. I don't know. Maybe they're a jerk. Who knows? But again, the problem with that type of thinking is that we remain isolated. There's no love being shared. Of course, other times it might just come right on down to good old-fashioned selfishness. And I'm not talking in some ridiculous Scrooge McDuck kind of way. diving into a pool full of money. At least not in my situation, that's for sure. You know, but in my situation, it's usually something much more realistic. You know, I think I have too much on my plate right now. Or I don't have enough time to go out and help this other person. You know, there's just not enough resources to really spend on building new connections. And that's not what we want life to be, but oftentimes that's exactly what it is. Those things, those apathy or fear, suspicion, distrust, even selfishness sometimes, they sneak up on us and they color every interaction we have with others. And nobody would choose that, but that's oftentimes the world we live in. And I know that's probably one of the biggest reasons I need church. It's true. Because church is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be that place of connection, that place of love. I think we all can agree it would be a little bit strange to attend a church service and listen to pastor preach a sermon entitled, "Do whatever you want, I don't care." Right? That would be a little bit weird. Or if you went out to the fellowship hall and there was a little sign that read, "Remember, don't talk to strangers." That's just not what we want from church. Even if that's completely reasonable advice in other situations, church is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be that place for connection, for love, not disconnection. And I have to say, Peace Lutheran does a fantastic job at that. It really does. I know I've only been here for, less than a year. My vicarage started back in early August, but I have been continually amazed to see all kinds of different people coming together and sharing that connection of love. People who, at least on the surface, have every reason to be disconnected. Whether that's because of different political views or social outlooks, maybe it's a different background. And yet, here everyone is, together. There's something special about church. And I think that's what St. Paul was talking about in his fourth chapter, in his letter to the Ephesians, that Ephesians chapter 4. Where he talks to his congregation and tells them, he reminds them of just how connected they are both to each other and to God. You see, Paul says there is one body, the church, and one spirit. Just as you have been called to one hope that belongs to your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, what Paul is saying here is that what connects us here in the church, what connects you to me and me to you, is our connection to our Heavenly Father. And what connects us to our Heavenly Father is baptism. Because it's in baptism, that ceremony with that water and those words, that something happens. That a connection is made. And it's not a connection based on a deal you make or a transaction that you do. No. In baptism, you are connected to God by love. Whether you're an adult or a baby or something in between, when you are baptized, you become part of the family. You become a dearly loved child of God. And that's important, because when apathy rears its ugly head, and it will, I mean, I know that sometimes the easiest thing to do in the world is to simply just not care. If you see another tragedy on the news or another sad Facebook story, Well, truth be told, you sometimes just get numb to it. But even in those times when it's hard to work up much feeling about much of anything, the connection remains. The love is still there. It's firm and it's safe because you have been baptized. You are a child of God. And the same thing goes for fear, that distrust or that suspicion. You know, I know I want to clam up and walk away when I see how other people can treat each other. Especially when someone takes advantage of me, I go into defensive mode. You know, push others away. Protect what's important. But you see, you are not alone. It's not you against the world. You have that connection. That love of your Heavenly Father. You don't have to keep everybody at arm's length just to stay safe, because you're covered in the arms of God. You are His child. And that's not always an easy thing to remember, because when things look scarce, whether it's time or money, when there just doesn't seem to be enough resources to go around or enough benefit to really go out and connect with somebody, that's when love is most important. That's when love can change everything. Because love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not rude or arrogant. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, even when it doesn't seem like there's a lot of time left. Love never ends. That is what church is all about. That is what connections are about. That beautiful things that love does. Though I recognize that all this talk of connection can seem a bit half-hearted without addressing the elephant in the room. Perhaps the biggest disconnector in our lives right now, this COVID-19 pandemic we're all facing. The schools are closed, the church building's locked up, all the restaurants are shuttered. It can seem like now, more than ever, we're living lives of disconnection and isolation. Like there's no real opportunity to live out that loving life of connection that Jesus calls us for. But with every new challenge, there are new opportunities. And I know a big one looking us right now here at Peace is our new at-home daily devotional series, this Strengthening Peace. Over the next 32 days, we'll be going through this together as a congregation, even while we're spending time apart, and really digging down and looking at what makes this place a place of connection. What things might stand in the way of us connecting with one another, and how all of our connections with each other and our family and our friends rest on our connection with our Heavenly Father. And so I would encourage you, open it up. Read through the short passages every day. It'll be a wonderful tool and one I'm looking forward to spending the next 4 weeks with you going through. But don't think that the connections end with just a pamphlet. No, the stories that I've heard of people connecting in new and exciting ways on the news or on the radio or even from members here at the church, it's been amazing. Stories of people living and loving and sharing life with each other. I even read an article about someone here in Oregon throwing a birthday party over a video game. And I'm not suggesting that we go out and all buy Nintendos. But I do think it's important that we ask ourselves, what are the new ways God is encouraging us to connect with one another during this time of social distancing? as we spend these times apart, what are the ways that we can share our love with others? Is it a Facebook message to a family member you haven't talked to in years? Is it maybe a phone call or an email to an old friend? It might even be just taking time and sitting down with someone you're living with and letting them know that you care and that they are loved. And the same goes for you. You are loved. And the most amazing, perfect way possible, you are a baptized child of God with a connection to your Heavenly Father that is firm and secure. And you can take comfort in that. And even though we live in a world full of things trying to disconnect us from others, nothing can disconnect you from God. Amen.